This is the Social Media Church Podcast, episode 90. Hey, this is your host, DJ Chuang. Welcome to another episode of the Social Media Church Podcast, the place for conversations with church leaders about social media. And on this episode, I have a conversation with Matt McKee, and I'm actually going to take the time to give him a more formal introduction, as I have often not done that on many of my previous episodes. Matt McKee was a pastor in family ministry for 10 years, and Matt is combining his love for ministry and the gospel with business, particularly technology. While at Fellowship Church in Grapevine, Texas, Matt helped to create and produce GeForce, a curriculum for elementary age children. He also contributed to the dream phase of Elevate, an elementary curriculum currently in production. And from 2005 to 2010, Matt served as the pastor of students and children at Horizon Community Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. And currently, Matt leads ROAR, R-O-A-R, and oversees a leadership curriculum that is in over 1,000 churches called You Lead. Matt also consults with Cincinnati and Atlanta businesses and professionals, creating and maintaining a social media strategy utilizing Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and other social networking platforms. Matt tells his client, strategy is more important than just doing. If you're trying to leverage social media for business or personal use, my best advice is to be human. Matt resides in Alpharetta, Georgia, with his wife and two children. And for those of you that are not familiar with the geography in Georgia, that would be the Atlanta area. Now, ROAR is a mobile app development company, and they will make a custom app for your church that fits your culture and your design and give your users, your church members and attenders, a custom user experience. And what's developing on the internet and even in the app world is this thing called UX, user experience. It's not just about content and design. It is also about experience. On this conversation, I will be talking with Matt about mobile apps for churches and consider whether your church should get one or not. We're also going to talk about texting as another way to really engage your audience. And you'll be surprised to hear just how high the open rate is. And not just the open rate, people actually read the text messages that you send them. And then we look a bit into the future and we talk a bit about iBeacon. Or Matt will talk about iBeacon, that is. And after my conversation with Matt, I'll update you on what's happening with the feedback mechanism that I have installed at socialmediachurch.net and let you know how I will be sharing the results. First, here's my conversation with Matt McKee of ROAR, the custom mobile app development company. Hey, welcome to the Social Media Church podcast, Matt McKee. And Matt is out on the East Coast while I'm here on the West Coast. And I first met him in the middle of the country in Kansas City at a National Worship Leader Conference a couple years ago. And since that time, technology has boomed and blossomed and all kinds of things are always happening at such a rapid and brisk pace. And Matt has some expertise in mobile apps, so we'll definitely be talking about that a lot, but we definitely want to connect it to church leaders and social media because that's the kind of conversations we have on this podcast. Matt, so tell us what you've been up to. How'd you get here?
And thanks so much, DJ, for even having me on here. I really appreciate it. Background-wise, I was a pastor for 10 years and stood in line for the very first iPhone. And, you know, Jesus changed my life and the first iPhone changed my life. How's that? The two things that then came together. But not only have I worked inside the church, but I've been working with church leaders now. It seems like for a long time. And speaking of social media, I don't know if you knew this. I actually wrote an ebook called Be Social, the Social Media Handbook for Churches. So I get to teach quite often on social media as well as apps. I started a app company specifically for nonprofits and churches and schools and called Roar, and that was almost 5 years ago now. So I've been in the space a little bit, and I love what I get to talk about and what I get to do.
That's great. I do remember seeing the ebook Go Social, but it was so long ago, and I don't remember the name behind it, but I'm so glad that you wrote that book. Are you looking to make an update?
You know, we we do update it quite frequently, and we I give it away on my blog. So, you know, anytime you want, you know, we added Pinterest, we added Instagram, we've added some different things just beyond blogs, beyond Facebook and Twitter. We even added text messaging because, you know, when you look at text, I know it doesn't have a social media name, but it truly is the biggest social media network that we have.
Oh, good. I'm glad you mentioned text because I've been doing some research on text messaging for use in a church context, and I have lots of questions on that. But let's drill into your expertise. You've been working on mobile apps for how many years now?
Really, my first app company I started, which failed, by the way, was started over 5 years ago.
Wow, 5+ years. And what did you learn from that failure that's brought you some success now?
Very first time that the first company I started, we tried to license content from large publishing houses. That content, especially early days in the App Store, got caught up into lawyers and some different things because no one knew. I mean, talk about the Wild West. I mean, trying to take content, put it into an app form, how much should you charge, who should get credit, I mean, all these different things. So that first take really didn't take off. I mean, it just kind of got stuck. So that's when we said, okay, not only do we want to work with publishers, and we still do today, but really how do we empower the church? And that's where Roar started. So we set out to say, how can we build as many church apps as possible? So far today, we've built a ton of them.
Yeah, and a ton meaning how many thousands? If you might give a ballpark figure.
Yeah, multiple. I mean, we also have, you know, other companies that, you know, have white labeled our products and, you know, done some different things. So, yeah, we're out there a whole lot.
Okay, so no numbers. That's fine. Your approach to building an app for the use of churches is both very custom, and it sounds like you also have some white label. And there's one or two out there that I see a lot where it's more template driven.
Yep.
And describe your approach in having a more customized approach. Why do you do that, and how much effort does it take?
So, yeah, we have two options. I mean, we built a platform specifically for churches. And when you say template, I think that's what you're talking about. Basically, it comes with 20 different modules, and or we may be up to 23 or so now. But basically, you know, here's where your Facebook page goes. Here's where your Twitter account goes. Here's where your website content goes. And if you wanted to do directions or whatever that is. So we try to make that as quick and easy. No matter what size church you are, it's really a communication tool. We then, some churches and organizations really do want to go beyond the platform. So that's why we sit down with them and we really dive into some different questions of how would people look at your content on a mobile scale? What is a problem you're trying to solve for your community? Because a lot of times it may not be the content that you're doing on a Sunday morning. It could be content specifically maybe for just parents. And, you know, one of the apps that we've done is ParentQ, and we actually did that for Orange. And I love the work that I get to do with Orange. And specifically, it really was. It was for parents and kids looking at elementary and preschool. And that was just a totally different solution or a custom approach to what kind of content or what are parents really needing to have conversations with their kids. That's the app that kind of popped out of that discovery.
Now, when you describe Orange, you're referring to the Orange Conference and that entire ministry for the family.
Yeah, or the Rethink Group. I mean, Orange is a strategy company that also has curriculum, that also has a conference. So it's a national, really international group now that's in thousands upon thousands of churches. So that's great.
So let's make a comparison. What are the top five features that the typical church wants to do in engaging its people through a mobile app versus what you customized for Orange that's gotten the most engagement for them?
Yeah, so and we've built, you know, other custom apps. I think it's just a good example of what we're doing. Yeah, if you just look at any church, churches put a lot of time, effort, energy into what happens on Sunday morning. So that sermon that is happening, you will see. It's either going to be a podcast or it's going to be some type of video that they're going to put into their app. They're going to put it up very early in the app so that people can find it in case they miss Sunday, or in case they're giving it, they're telling their friend about it so they can see what the church is all about. So that's very important. One, an app really should extend the conversation of what's happening on Sunday morning. So really what you're doing is you're saying, hey, this is who we're about. Here's what God is teaching us as a community. We want you to be involved in our community. Here's the message so that you can extend that conversation at work, on the go, whatever that looks like. The other thing, of course, photos are huge. Events, the events that are happening at the church. Sure, you want people to extend the conversation and have a conversation outside. You want people talking about your church outside the walls of your church, but you also want them to be able to come in into an environment that you kind of have control over and for them to have a great experience. So another great feature, of course, is the events module. You also want them to see what's going on your Facebook account, on your Twitter account. So those are some of the top things. The other thing that we do on our platform that's kind of unique, we have live HTML scrapers. So anything that's happening on their site, we're scraping the site so that they're not having to update things 2 and 3 and 4 times. That feature is used, I mean, in every app that we build, trying to make it as easy as possible. Now, on the custom side, it's just a totally different approach. I mean, you're looking at the look, the feel, the functionalities. I mean, hopefully the custom app is trying to solve a specific issue. And it's not just content or extending the conversation. It truly is, hey, we want this functionality. And who knows? I mean, next, you know, we could be talking about iBeacons. We could be talking about geo locations. We could be talking about who knows what. When looking at a mobile device and what that can do for a church and maybe their discipleship, maybe their content for small groups, who knows what it is. So that's the exciting part.
Let's use a few examples. I know practitioners love examples because it helps them turn the idea into it helps them turn the idea into a real life something to look at. So what is the problem that your custom app solves for Orange Conference and their ministry?
So in particular, for parents, what they did was they said, hey, there's going to be certain times that parents are going to sit down with their kids. And those times are drive time. It's going to be meal time. It's going to be bedtime. It's going to be kind of a hang time. But we also want to give information to parents that is kind of on the go. So if they have a podcast in there. So some of those are Bible stories that you'd read at bedtime. Some of those are videos that they can watch. The kids can watch while they're driving around town. Some of those are just activities for the family to do that maybe they're at their house or maybe they're outside of their house and they just need something to do for the next 10, 15 minutes. It's going to give them something to do on a regular basis. So, and what's great about the app is it's all tied to a content management system that changes every month. So it's all fresh, new material, which is going to be great.
Okay, now here is the question that we started our conversation with a couple years back,
yep.
And that's the iPhone versus the Android.
Sure.
And let's also roll in a mobile responsive website, kind of a website. So those are kind of the three ways that you can engage with a mobile audience.
Yes.
And mobile usage continues to rise.
It does.
And so, what are the key factors for churches trying to decide whether to go with a custom app versus a template versus a web-based HTML5 kind of deal?
So the numbers I continue to see over and over and over truly are more time is spent in the actual iPhone iOS app than any other app out there. when even you're talking about the mobile web, when you're talking about Android apps, now what's interesting is there are more Android devices out there than any other device. I mean, they're killing iOS when it comes to number of devices, which is interesting. You would think they would have more downloads of apps. You would think more time would be spent because there are more devices, but it's just not the case. I mean, even when you look at the number of downloads, let's just take, for example, the ParentQ app. The ParentQ app, I mean, it has tens of thousands of downloads, and the Android, and that's the iOS app. The Android app has less than 10,000 downloads. So, I mean, just looking at the different audiences and the way different people download content, here's my suggestion for most people. When you look at your mobile strategy, you need a mobile website so that you can be found, so that you can drive people somewhere. And what I mean by that is people are on the go. They're going to look up your church. They're going to look up what you're about, and they're going to be able to see, oh, here's the location. Here's where I can find them. Here's directions. That's great. But they're not going to engage with you more than once, twice, maybe three times on your web presence on a mobile device. That's why I say you need an app. Beyond that, because more time is spent in apps, even when you look at Facebook, even when you look at Amazon, these very large companies, if they could solve the problem with just doing a mobile website, then they would just do a mobile website. But more people are buying things from the Amazon app than they are from the mobile web. They're doing more interaction in the Facebook app than they are the same exact experience on the mobile website. So there's just something about intentionality. There's something about the mind that says, I'm going to be intentional when I click on that app because I know what I'm going in there to do. And we're just seeing, hey, more people on iPhones and iPads use those apps than they do on the Android devices, which is interesting. So when you're moving forward, yeah, you need a mobile website. I would encourage you to have an iOS app, an iPhone or iPad. And for all those people, because you're going to get a lot of complaints if you don't have an Android app, because they're going to say, hey, we're out here too. So really, you need to cover all three.
And when you make your offering, do you make a cross-platform solution, iOS and Android?
Yeah, so especially on the platform. I mean, the platform itself comes with an iPhone-specific app, an iPad-specific app, and an Android app. We also have mobile websites, of course, that we do. On top of that. So we cover the gamut when it comes to mobile devices.
Okay, as we wrap up, one of the things that has been a recurring theme here at the Social Media Church is online churches and internet campuses. Have you seen, worked with some churches that have integrated their online campus with an app experience?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, you know, there's one here in Atlanta. That's where I'm located, Alpharetta Baptist Church. And they use a service called churchstreaming.tv. We actually work with that company quite frequently, getting their live campus in, their live streaming, their online campuses. So, and even working with them, everything's totally integrated. But then we also work with some others too. What I really like about their system is everything works in the app really well. So the feeds work. There aren't broken links or anything like that. The church does one thing and it goes multiple places. So that's really cool.
That is very cool. Take a minute to talk about online giving. Do you integrate that into app and what kind of impact have you seen?
You better believe we do. Yeah. I mean, that's one thing we've rolled out a lot over the last year at Roar. You know, one of the things that more people, we want more and more people to do is be able to give on the go. That's going to be in the app. You really, not only do you want them to see your message, but you want them to be able to give to your message. And we're innovating as much as we can around that space, as much as Apple will allow us to. And you know, they're a little reluctant in some times and places that they want you to. But we're working with them. Of course, on Android, it's about as seamless as you get.
And then let's talk about texting. I've been researching texting for churches, and yeah, it's really hard for me to get a handle on finding a easy-to-use solution. So why is it so messy for me? And I'm a techie, right? And yeah, I have a hard time figuring it out. I can't imagine a non-techie trying to figure out what tech solution to use.
Well, the problem is there's 1,000 different platforms out there. I mean, when you looked at mass texting, and there's been so many companies come and go. I mean, one of my favorite companies, even in the past year, has kind of shut down, you know, and it, I think that's why, because there were so many different players in the space, it's kind of come around. One of my favorites is Simply Text, and I don't know if you've used them. They're by Simply Youth Ministry. They have a ministry, you know, focus. I like their heart behind their technology as well. The one thing I really do like about what they're doing, their customer service is great. So when you do have questions, they're very quick, and they get pastors, they get churches, because they work with them each and every day. So I like that service, and they're good friends. So I'll push them your way if you're not already using them.
Well, I'm going to check them out more closely.
Yeah, that's good. Them,
so thank you.
No, here's the important thing about text, though. 96% of text messages are read. I mean, no other communication style can say that. I mean, it's not even opened. It's read. I mean, if I get a text message while we're doing this podcast, more than likely I'm going to go, that's important. I mean, I haven't checked my phone since we've been on here, but it's been close because I've received a couple texts.
That is the most compelling reason that text should be more actively used. And actually, the baby step I wanted to make was to set up a 24/7 text and prayer hotline.
Yeah.
You know, it's actually not that hard. I can hack it with a Google Voice. I like a little more elegance to it. That's all.
Yeah. And Google Voice is free, of course. And there's some other, you know, kind of free options out there. I mean, if you want to do like a WhatsApp or, you know, tie in some different things, I think you could. But most of the time, when you look at a free option, you have to ask, okay, what do I have to do to hack this, or, you know, kind of tweak it to do something maybe it's not meant to do. And that's when you have to go paid a lot of times.
Okay, I'll give you the last word, a closing thought on where all this is going.
Where it's going. I think mobile experiences are going to be changed very quickly over the next 2-3 years by the number of sensors that we have around us. I think, you know,
sensors,
your mobile device.
People bleeping us, or sensors because of electronic sensing?
I think the way, well, in particular, iBeacon, right? You look at iBeacon and what it's going to do to our, not our virtual world, but our real world. And the way that we make payments to certain things, the way information will be downloaded to our mobile devices automatically, the way your kids will be checked in. I mean, it's going to take our physical world, and technology will do a lot of things for us that we allow it to, that we give permission to. So that's where it's going, and I'm actually very excited about that.
Thank you, Matt, for joining me on the Social Media Church podcast. The show notes are at socialmediachurch.net, where you'll be able to click through and connect with Matt yourself on Twitter and at his company website, as well as checking out the Simply Text service as one of the options that you should research and consider for more mobile engagement with your constituents, whether that's your members, the attenders, or other people that you want to impact through mobile devices. A lot of opportunity there as mobile adoption continues to grow, and there's no sign of that slowing down. And if you use websites like I do, you may have noticed that many websites, particularly the ones that are up to date and keep their user experience and design fresh, that the desktop experience on the browser is looking a lot more like the experience you get on mobile. And so I think what's happening is, as we have screens of different sizes, whether it's mobile or tablet or the mini tablet or a laptop or a desktop screen, your content has to be designed to responsively fit on whatever screen size that is. Now, that takes a different kind of skill and discipline in order to build your website design and your mobile design to seamlessly go back and forth between these different platforms. But that is the mode of the day of how to communicate effectively on the web, whether that's on a desktop or a laptop or a tablet or mobile. One thing I would add is that I don't think mobile will be the end all of how we engage with content, because of battery life. So there will still be a place and a need for either tablets or laptops in order to have more time to consume and engage with content. Actually, the one technology that has the longest battery life is tablets. For many tablets on the market, you're talking about 6 to 10 hours of battery life, whereas laptops, you're looking at 3 hour-ish, and mobile phones, man, sometimes it feels like it gets drained in just a couple hours with an active phone call or a couple videos, and you know how panicky it gets when your battery on your cell phone is running about 10% and just about to drain out and die on you. Oh, I wanted to mention to you here about the little feedback mechanism that I put on socialmediachurch.net. I want to thank all 18 people that have filled out the survey anonymously. And if I get two more, whenever that comes through, when I get to 20, I will share the results with you, my listeners, on Social Media Church podcast, and let you know who is in the audience there listening with you, as well as some of the hot topics that you would love to hear more about. So if two more of you out there would fill out the feedback form, it should either pop up when you're first visiting socialmediachurch.net, or if you're a repeat visitor, there's a little face icon on the left sidebar that you can click on, a little orange face icon that you can click on and add your feedback. So when we get two more and exceed 20, I will share the results with you on a future episode of the Social Media Church podcast. What we do here is made possible by listeners like you. Thank you for listening and sharing and telling others about this valuable resource that I am producing on the generosity of people that pay for my bills and my day job. In other words, this is a self-sustaining effort at this point, and I'd like to continue this as long as I can possibly do it. There's no need, no pressure on you to have to put up with ads or help me monetize this thing. And I've heard from enough people that this content is uniquely valuable. Thank you for listening. And do stop by on iTunes and add a review if you have that installed on your desktop. That would be most appreciated so others can find this podcast as we continue the conversations here with church leaders about social media. Again, the web address is socialmediachurch.net. And of course, you can connect with us on Twitter or Facebook, Google+, and even Pinterest. Time for me to sign off. My name is DJ Chuang, and until next time, we'll stay connected online.